Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Pesachim is daf Kuf Hey, and unbelievably, we're on daf Kuf Hey. Today's daf, we're starting from the very top of the Amud. Yesterday's daf Kuf Dal was a dedication to the topic of Havdalah. We spoke at length. The Gemara yesterday exclusively dedicated itself to the topic of Havdalah. It comes up as the result of a story that takes place on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, which continues to Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, which then took the Gemara on a segue, on a tangent through the topic of Havdalah. Most of yesterday's daf was dedicated to the topic of Nusach HaHavdalah. What should be the proper text of the Havdalah? Question of how many Havdalah should you be making in the Havdalah? The Hainu, how many references of separations are there? How many are mentioned in Tanakh altogether? The Gemara seems to suggest that there are seven. The Gemara says that you should either be making a Havdalah with seven Havdalos or three Havdalos. Some are of the opinion that you can make a Havdalah with only one Havdalah. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi did that. Minag Olam, of course, is what Minag Olam is. In other words, open up your Siddur. You'll see what Havdalah, the standard Nusach of Havdalah is. That was all yesterday's daf. We move on to today's daf. Today's daf, now we return back to the topic of Kiddush. Okay, Kiddush is a big theme throughout the 10th Perek. We've already discussed Kiddush at length from the beginning of the Perek. The reason why Kiddush is such a predominant discussion here is because, again, the 10th Perek, we're talking about Seder. And the first thing that we have in the Seder is Kiddush, right? Kadesh. So because it becomes the first thing, so the Gemara takes the opportunity to discuss the halachas regarding Kiddush. A lot of these discussions could really occur in Masechta Shabbos, but this is it. This is really the main place in Shas where we discuss some of the halachas of Kiddush. We are three lines from the very top of the Amud Kufi Amud Aleph, and we begin Rabbi Chananya Bar Shamaya V'Tamida D'Rav HaVyasveh B'Seudasa. So we have Amaraim sitting down at a Seuda, including students of Rav. Students of Rav also become like a predominant character in all these discussions of Kiddush and Havdalah. We discussed Talmid HaDerav back on Kuf Gimel. Okay, we're back to the students of Rav. So they were sitting down at a meal, the Kayalai Rav Hamnuna Saba. And once again, attending to them, serving them is Rav Hamnuna Saba. Amalei Zilchazi Imek Maktishuma. Go see if the days become Kadosh. In other words, we're back. We're back to our group of Amoraim who are eating on Friday afternoon. I told you from the very beginning of the Perek that this is a common theme. Eating on Friday afternoon. Okay, again, it's hard to understand what they're doing eating on Friday afternoon, but they are. So they're eating on Friday afternoon, and they want to now know, okay, Shabbos has come, so go see. Go take a look outside. Apparently, it wasn't that apparent from the inside of the house. Go take a look outside. Go see if it's Shabbos. And if it is, imak tishuma, and if the day, in fact, has turned into night, and now Shabbos has begun, nafsik v'nikbe'e l'shabasa. So what we will do then is we'll stop and we'll be kovei Shabbos. We'll establish Shabbos. What does that mean, nafsik? So let's go back to what we learned in the beginning of the Perek. In the beginning of the Perek, we learned the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. In the event that you're eating on Friday afternoon, and now Friday afternoon turns into Friday night, so now what do you do? So Rabbi Yehuda says, mafsikin. Rabbi Yehuda says, you stop. And as we explained back then, the Rashi explained back then, stop means that you take away the table and your bench, and now you can take out a cup of wine and you make Kiddush. In other words, you really have to segregate the meal that you were eating from the meal that you're about to eat. In other words, it cannot be that a continuation from the previous meal. It has to be a totally new meal. So Akiras HaShulchan, benching, new Kiddush, that's the halacha of Hefsek. That's Rav Yehuda. Rav Yossi says, no Hefsek is required. Rav Yossi says, just Ochav HaHolech, you just keep eating. It's fine. The meal converts on its own. But by the way, I said that already a number of times. The meal converts on its own. I got that from today's daf. Meaning today's daf is going to be that the source of the halacha that the meal converts on its own. But we don't need to convert the meal. That was, right? And no, in other words, Rav Yossi would say, I'm just explaining Rav Yossi right now. Rav Yossi would say, just keep going till the night. You'll bench, and then what do you do after benching? Then you'll make Kiddush. You make Kiddush after benching. That was the sheet of Rav Yossi. And then the Gemara said, and then we have the position of Shmuel. Now Shmuel's an Amora, and the Rashbam already pointed out in the beginning of this whole discussion back on Daf Kuf that the Shmuel is not espousing. I'm presenting it like the Rashbam. There are other ways to present it, but I'm just going to present it like the Rashbam. Shmuel is not taking a side on the issue. Shmuel fundamentally agrees with Rav Yossi, but Shmuel just adds a little chumrah, and that is paris mapa mekadesh, meaning that we're not going to wait till after the meal to make kiddush. We'll make kiddush in the middle of the meal, but I don't have to stop the meal. The meal can continue. Ochav aholech, fundamentally ochav aholech. But what we'll do is we'll make kiddush in the middle of the meal. What we'll do is we'll spread a sheet over the top of the food, hide the food, make kiddush, voila, uncover the food, and mat like a magician. We just turned all this food into Shabbos food. Okay, that's what we set up until this point in time. That's a review of the machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi. So these Amorayim are sitting down and having a meal. It's Friday afternoon. Go outside and go see if it's Shabbos. Okay, they went outside, they took a look. Oh yes, it's Shabbos. And if it's Shabbos, we'll be mafsik. We'll stop and we'll be kovei suda. So Amar Lohu. So he says to them, "Lo tzrichisu, unnecessary. Shabbos is kavah nafsha. Shabbos is kovei itself. Shabbos doesn't need us. Meaning Shabbos is automatic. So Shabbos is here. Shabbos is kovei atzma, and therefore it's not necessary. Now the simple pshat of the Gemara is, meaning we don't have to do anything. Meaning we could just simply continue eating. Meaning." We go like Rav Yossi. We hold like Rav Yossi. To be fair, however, if you look at the Rashbam says Shabbos is kovei la'atzma. The Rashbam writes, it is the second wide line in the Rashbam. Shabbos is kovei nafshal esuudas ne'me'achar she'yoser salenu la'echo me'ata below kiddush ein lecha hefzeh gadol mizeh. Well, even in this position that Shabbos is kovei la'atzma, the Rashbam says, it's not that we can just simply continue eating. We'll stop. We'll make kiddush. But what we won't do is that we won't be okay our shulchan. We won't take the table away, and we don't have to bench. But we will make kiddush. O miatz masudas Shabbos chashiv and nivdals masudas chol v'day lechem beprisas mapa v'kiddush. Meaning the Rashbam says paris mapa mekadesh. Meaning the Rashbam is convinced that even in the Rav Yossi shita of ochav aholech, but still you have to stop. You have to make kiddush. And then afterwards you continue your meal. But what we don't have to do is we don't have to bench. Benching is not necessary. Because Shabbos is kovei la'atzma. Back to the Gemara. And the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav, which makes sense because these are the Tamidei de Rav, that look, you know, Shabbos is an automatic. I'll give you an example. How do I know Shabbos is an automatic? So let's talk about this in the context of Meiser. I know we seem to be going off topic right now, but we're really not. In other words, it's the same basic point. By Meister, what's the halacha? The halacha is that once you take food and you do all the work with the food, you harvest it from the ground, you bring it into your house, you make a pile, right? In other words, once you get to the point of what's called gemar malacha, when you finish processing all the grain that you brought in, now it's chayav in Trumas HaMaisos. Prior to that point in time, there's no obligation in Trumas HaMaisos. Once you bring it in and you finish the Gemar Malacha, then and only then is there a chayav of Trumas HaMaisos. Does that mean that I'm allowed to eat any produce before Gemar Malacha? I'm going to pause for a moment before I give the answer. Yeah, you're allowed to. Now, the Chachamim didn't want us to get into the habit of eating grains or eating fruit before the Gemar Malacha, so the Chachamim said, snack. Right, you could snack before the Gemar Malacha, but to sit down and to have a fixed meal, that you can't do. But in other words, technically speaking, yes, you can eat produce before the Gemar Malacha, even though the produce are not nifrash and trumas amaisos. You can go to Eretz Yisrael, right? Take a fruit off a tree, take a bite out of it. In other words, it's because there's no Gemar Malacha that's done. However, the critical point in terms of Trumas HaMaisos is what's called Gemar Malacha. However, there are certain events that occur with produce which basically take the place of Gemar Malacha, almost like a substitute for Gemar Malacha, where if any one of these things were to happen, so that's it, it's now Koveya. The food is now considered established, and therefore you cannot even snack from that food. One of those things, one of those events that makes the food now kavua is Shabbos. Which means that if I pick off fruit off the tree and it was no Gemar Malacha, we didn't finish it off, but Shabbos comes. So the story now becomes Shabbos is a koveya. Shabbos now will prohibit me from eating the fruit without first taking off Trumas HaMaisros. Okay, that's the halacha of Shabbos. Shabbos the Koveya. Which, by the way, now you go back to the second parak of Shabbos, the Mishnah in Shabbos, where the Mishnah in Shabbos says, what are the things you have to do before Shabbos? One of the things you have to do is you have to be mafresh, trumas amaisros. So why? Well, in other words, why before Shabbos? Because Shabbos is a koveya. Shabbos establishes the food to be, any meal that you eat on Shabbos is not a snack. Any meal that you eat on Shabbos is by definition considered a established meal, it's koveya. So therefore, all produce, even without the Gemar Malacha, is going to be prohibited to eat unless you're mafresh, trumas amaisros. Good. That's the halacha of Shabbos vis-a-vis Meiser. So what Rav is saying is, just like Shabbos is a koveya regarding Meiser, Shabbos is also going to be koveya regarding your food that you eat. You're eating food, you're sitting down Friday afternoon, you're having a meal, and then it turns into Shabbos, don't worry. Just like Shabbos is an automatic regarding Meiser, Shabbos is also going to be an automatic regarding the food as well. That is what Rav says. Kishem she Shabbos kavas la Meiser, kach Shabbos kavas la Kiddush. Saver mina ki echad de kavala Kiddush, kach kavala havdala. Okay, now the Gemara says, I wonder. On the front end, Shabbos becomes an automatic. Food on Shabbos turns into Shabbos food. Which again, according to the Rashba, means not only does it automatically become Shabbos food, but you have to make Kiddush. You don't have to bench, but you got to make Kiddush. Okay, that we got. What about on the back end of Shabbos? Now, anyone who's been at a Hasidish Tish, you know that there is no back end to Shabbos. So Shabbos just continues for a long time. But is the same thing true? And we all know the answer. Is the same thing true that on the back end of Shabbos, that's it? In other words, when Shabbos ends, Shabbos ends?
No.
And you can't eat until you make Havdalah, right? So we all know the answer. The answer is no. Meaning on the back end, it continues. How do we know that, aside from the fact that, you know, we see it, but how do we know it? We know it from this Gemara right over here. Amalu Rav Amram Hacham Rav Lekiddush Kovas V'lo Havdalah Kovas. Shabbos is a Koveya for Kiddush. Meaning, when Shabbos comes in, that's it. We have to acknowledge that Shabbos is coming in. We have to make Kiddush. But when Shabbos goes out, the exit of Shabbos, that doesn't have to guide us in terms of our meal. Meaning, as long as we're in the middle of a meal, on Shabbos afternoon, meaning we're eating Shal Shudas, so Shal Shudas can continue as long as you want it to continue. And it does not have to end. V'hani mililinyan mifsak. The mifsak de lo mifsakina. Now, this is true, meaning Shabbos at the end is not going to be a koveya. When Shabbos exits, you don't have to finish your meal. You can continue your shal shudas meal. Aval atchule lo mitchalina. But what you cannot do is you cannot start a new meal on Motzei Shabbos without making havdalah. So, in other words, you are extending your Shabbos, and for on Shabbos afternoon, and you're going late into Saturday night. So if you're continuing a meal from Shabbos, that's fine. To start a meal anew, that you cannot do. And the Gemara says, and as far as mafsik is concerned, as far as stopping your meal, that's only if you're in the middle of a meal. But if you're just in the middle of drinking, meaning let's say Shabbos afternoon, late Shabbos afternoon, you're having wine, you're having beer, whatever drink you're having. So then you can't continue into the evening. The drinking you have to stop. A meal you can continue, but not drinking. And even when it comes to the drink, drinking is only going to be... Now, I should point out, the Rashbam at this point in time says that this statement of the Gemara is going not on the interruption, but rather this is going on the haschala, on the beginning. We said that once Shabbos ends, you can't start a meal anew. And the way the Rashbam understands this line of the Gemara, this is now talking about starting a meal anew. You can't start a meal anew. You can't have significant drink, but what you can do, but if you just want to have a cup of water, even though Shabbos ended, even though you didn't make Havdalah, the Gemara says that's fine. That you're allowed to do. Upliga de Rav Huna, de Rav Huna, Chazal Ugavra, de Shasamai, Karm Havdalah. Now the Gemara notes that this is in disagreement with the position of Rav Huna. Rav Huna sees somebody drinking water on a Motzei Shabbos, and he didn't make Havdalah. So Amar Leila, Mistafu Marmi Askara, you're not afraid. meaning I'm wondering, the punishment min hashamayim for drinking water before Havdalah is Askara. Askara, we've seen that kind of ailment earlier in Shas. That's basically some sort of asphyxiation, some sort of congestion of the throat, and basically he died choking. So, and he says that, I'm worried, you're drinking water before Havdalah, I'm concerned that, and I'm wondering why you're not concerned about this thing called Askara. The Tanna Mishmei de Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Kol Atom, Klum Kodem Shiavdil, eating anything. The key word over here is Klum. Atom Klum Kodem Shiavdil, Misasa Ba Askara, the Misa for that is going to be Askara. Which parenthetically, by the way, Rabbi Akiva, that's where we saw Askara elsewhere in Shas, meaning the Tamida de Rabbi Akiva, the students of Rabbi Akiva, Shalonagu Kavu Zelazeh, they didn't honor one another. So how did they all die? So the Gemara Yevamos tells us they died through Askara. So it's interesting, just an observation, that the Gemara over here still quotes in the name of Rabbi Akiva, that Toim, that tasting something before Havdalah, on Motzei Shabbos, anything, even water, the person is going to be subject to the punishment of Askara. By the way, Tosas over here points out, it's Mida Keneged Mida, measure for measure. Second to last Tosas on the Amud. No, last Tosas on the Amud. Ubraisa de Cholaton Misasa Baskara lo Mukmi Amaya, O Misasa Baskara Mida Keneged Mida, who must be a grono? Because what is he doing? He's feeding his throat before he's entitled to. So yechanek ve'askara b'makom chenek. So therefore, the mida keneged mida, since you're feeding your throat before you're entitled to, so the misa comes al yedei gerono, meaning he'll be choked to death. And Tosfos quotes the Gemara Ksuvos in the third perek, mishen is chayiv chenek o tovea benar o mesbe sarnuchi v'hainu askara. Meaning that nowadays we don't have capital punishment, right? We don't have the ability to mete out capital punishment. But the Gemara Ksuva says that essentially what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is that he replaces the capital punishment with what we would call, quote-unquote, a natural death. In other words, if somebody dies through what we would call natural causes, it's not natural causes, but rather it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu meeting out the Misa that correspond to the Misa that he would have deserved had there been a Beis Din. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara's position is very clear. The Gemara's position is not very clear. I apologize. Rav Huna says that you're not allowed to have even water before Havdalah. Previously, the Gemara says, quoted another opinion, which is, no, water would be okay. Again, let's just quickly summarize. To continue a meal after Shabbos is over, that's fine. That's no problem, says the Gemara. As long as you start the meal on Shabbos, to continue into Motzei Shabbos, that's fine. Drinking, the Gemara says no. Meaning that if you're in the middle of drink, so then you have to stop. Aschule, to start a meal, the Gemara says, that's absolutely out of the question, with exception to water. If you want to taste a little bit of water prior to Havdalah, the Gemara says, that's fine. However, Rav Huna says, I don't agree. Rav Huna says, even the tasting of water prior to Havdalah, that's out of the question. The Gemara quotes Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva agrees as well. I know historically Rabbi Akiva comes before Rav Huna, but the point being is that Rabbi Akiva also is of this position, that you cannot taste anything, not even water, prior to Havdalah. Finally, the Gemara concludes on this one issue, Rabbanan de Rav Ashi, lo kapti amayi. The Talmidim of Rav Ashi, they were makpid, meaning they didn't think that this was a concern, and they would drink a little bit of water prior to Havdalah. So the only point that's left in the Gemara that is not conclusive is whether you can have water prior to Havdalah. In terms of starting any other food before Havdalah, that the Gemara feels is totally out of the question. That's going to be prohibited. But in terms of water, the Gemara leaves that as a machlokus.
What's the reason, Rabbi?
The simple explanation would be because we don't want the person to forget to make Havdalah. So basically, as a reminder, no better reminder than you can't eat. So as a reminder to make Havdalah, so there's a prohibition to eat prior to Havdalah. That would be the simple explanation. Could be that there's more to it than just that. I will share with you at this point in time, all right, Adkan, in other words, that's the Gemara. The Gemara concludes this topic about eating a meal on Shabbos afternoon, going into Motzei Shabbos, what you can start, what you can continue, etc., etc. The Gemara now is going to turn to a new topic. Before we start with the new topic of the Gemara, just a very interesting discussion, and that is Tosfos right here on our Amud. Tosfos on our Amud says, do you know what you get from this whole Gemara? That they eat Shal Shudas. Now, of course, eat Shal Shudas, meaning Shal Shudas is a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to eat Shal Shudas. The Gemara on Shabbos, we saw this at length. 17th Perek, I think. So, thereabouts. So, anyway, so there's a mitzvah to eat, there's a mitzvah to eat Shal Shudas. Good. That we all know. But what is interesting, however, is that it's clear from this Gemara over here that when would they eat Shal Shudas? Late Saturday afternoon. Which, quite frankly, makes perfect sense. Meaning, what? When else are you going to eat Shal Shudas? Meaning, the first meal is Friday night, the second meal is Shabbos morning, and so the third meal is going to be sometime in Shabbos afternoon. Right? Is that a doesn't sound that controversial? It's going to be amazing. It took me also by a little bit by surprise. How controversial it is to each right to each Shal Shudas in the afternoon, in the late afternoon. Hani Mila, take a look at Tosfos over here. It's the third Tosfos down from the top. Hani Mila Dachlu V'Shasu Miikara Mashma Shayu Oklim B'Shabes Samach Chashecha. It sounds like from our Gemara that they would start Shal Shudas in the late afternoon. In other words, right before it got night. That's what it sounds like from our Gemara. V'Tema Shalom Negu Lecho BeMincha LaMariv. So Tosfos says, but that's not the minug. We all know. That's funny. Like we all know. We don't know. But we all know, says Tosfos, that you don't eat between Mincha and Maariv on Shabbos. Okay? Right. No, correct. I told you, this discussion... Huh? Yeah, correct. Right. I told you, the Tosfos over here took me by surprise. But, you know, I did a little bit of research. You know, I read up a little bit on this. So, but Tosfos says, we don't eat between Mincha and Maariv on Shabbos afternoon. V'gam Rabbeinu Tam Ka'as. In fact, Rabbeinu Tam, okay, it's fitting to his personality. Rabbeinu Tam got angry. Rabbeinu Meshulam, one of the other Balei HaTosfos, so he ate on Shabbos afternoon between Mincha and Maariv. Rabbeinu Tam says, are you crazy? I mean, we don't eat on Shabbos afternoon. Da'amar ben Medrash. And now, what is this based on? Meaning, that obviously that's going to be the next point in Tosfos. But if you think about it, meaning, logically speaking, why wouldn't you eat on Shabbos afternoon? Meaning, as we pointed out, part of Onik Shabbos, one of the defining moments, points of Onik Shabbos, is that we eat. We eat on Shabbos. So the idea that, oh, between Mincha Maariv, nobody eats, and Rabbeinu Tam got angry, where does that come from? So it doesn't come from any Gemara, but it comes from Midrashim. So Tosfos over here quotes Bemedrash Hashos Amayim B'Shabbos Ben Hashmashos Gozel Es Krovav Hamesim. Okay, a very strong Medrash. The Medrash says that if you drink water Ben Hashmashos, meaning Shabbos afternoon, late Shabbos afternoon, Gozel Es Krovav Hamesim, you're stealing from the dead, from your dead relatives. The cost of Shapam Achas Ira Maisa Belotir Uvali De Sakana. And there was an episode, I'm not really following what's going on at this point in time, but anyway, somebody ate on Shabbos afternoon, late Shabbos afternoon, and he was in jeopardy, he was in danger. And yes, there are going to be times where we're going to have to eat late Shabbos afternoon. Let's say late Shabbos afternoon goes into a fast day. Okay, so then we're going to eat, but and we all know that that's going to be correct. But Tosfos says bekoshi, meaning with difficulty, the Chachamim allowed it. V'gam Tisha B'av Shechalios B'Shabbos V'Nidche Hitir Bekoshi. Okay, and there as well. So in other words, how can these Amoraim? The question over here is kind of like in working backwards. How could the Amoraim be eating late Shabbos afternoon when you know you're not allowed to eat late Shabbos afternoon between Mincha and Maariv? So Tosfos makes a suggestion. Well, maybe what's happening over here is that they started before the Mincha time and the meal continued late into Shabbos afternoon, even into the evening. Okay. So. Rabbeinu Tam would have Shal Shudas before Mincha. Correct. All right. So this, I don't know, but I do know a little bit more on this topic, which I'll share. It's very interesting. There was a predominant minhag, clearly, and Tosfos speaks to it, And you see Rabbeinu Tam's visceral reaction. There was a predominant minhag that they would not eat on Shabbos between Mincha and Maariv. And to this minhag, so why is there such a minhag? So you got a little feel from it in Tosfos. What's the reason why? Because gozos hamesim, right? Gozos krovav hamesim. You're stealing from the dead. So essentially, what happens is as follows. Now, again, I'm explaining it al yedei medrash, and I don't want to sound like I'm really knowledgeable on this issue. I'm not, but just to give you some understanding of what's going on over here, we know that the first year post mortem, so that's a year of din. Right, the neshama is going to be judged during that year, and how do we know this? So it's represented through kaddish, and the child of that of the departed says kaddish, which will hopefully provide a zechus for the mace. Okay, and then after the first year site, so the nihugi avelus is now lifted for the son, for the daughter. Okay, so in other words, we know that first year is a year of din, but even during that first year of din. But there's still not. It's not din every day. In other words, Shabbos. Shabbos, even the neshama gets a break from din on Shabbos. So therefore, Shabbos is not only a Yom Menucha for us; it's also going to be Yom Menucha for the neshama as well, for the departed neshamas.
Why do you think Shabbat?
It's a good question. I don't know. That's right. So but what happens, of course, at the end of Shabbos? At the end of Shabbos, the neshama is going back to din. So and how do we know this, right? How do we represent this? Think about it. What happens at the end of Mincha? At the end of Mincha, we say Tzidkas Tzedek, right? In other words, the tone starts to get. You see it in davening a little bit. The tone starts to get more serious, right? And we're talking now about tzeduk, about righteousness and judgment. So it's as a result of the fact that the neshama is also going back. So it's just to now explain this minhag of Tosfos, it's just not the right time to eat. Meaning it's not appropriate. Not appropriate time to eat after Mincha, when the neshamas are going back to din, and we ourselves are going back into the work. So in other words, that shouldn't be the time that we engage in eating. If you take a look at the Rush, just quoted outside, the Rush points out there may be another reason behind this minhag of not eating on Shabbos, on late Shabbos afternoon, and that's on account of the death of Moshe, right? Moshe died on Shabbos. Now, this is not universally accepted, meaning this is subject to a debate. You can take a look at the Rush in the back, where the Rush in the back brings down a machlokis in terms of when exactly was the death of Moshe, but there are those who are of the opinion that Moshe died on a Shabbos.
Same thing was
born. Huh? You're right. It is, if you want to see in the Rush, it's an Osir Gimel in the Rush, where he discusses this. Right, Hashos Emayim Be'er Shabbos, Hashem V'gam Masha Kasov Shemeis Moshe Rabbeinu B'Shabbos Leisa. Now, happens to be the Rush doesn't agree with that. But there are some are of the opinion that Moshe died on Shabbos as well, which also may account for the quasi-avelus that we have during the end of Shabbos. Okay, so interesting. It took me by surprise, but there is a old minhag amongst the Rishonim not to eat Shabbos, late Shabbos afternoon, and then Tosfos kind of works backwards. Now that you know that, so you have to wonder why the Amoraim doing it. Okay, so really, the radical answer you could have said is maybe there's no such minhag, but obviously from Tosfos' perspective, that wasn't even an issue, that wasn't an option. Tosfos knows we know about the minhag. So now we know about the minhag, and we assume that the minhag went all the way back to the time of the Amoraim. So how do they eat? So he gives an answer, but it's definitely interesting. Okay, Ba'amine Ravina Merav Nachman. We're back to the Gemara. We are on Kufei Amud Aleph. We're starting in the middle of the Amud, continuing, I should say, in the middle of the Amud. And now the discussion turns like this. A great discussion coming up now, and that's basically going to be the following. I'll let the Gemara ask the question. Ba'amine Ravina Merav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Mishlo Kiddush Be'er of Shabbos Ma'ishi Kadosh V'Holach Kol Yom Kulo. You didn't make Kiddush on Friday night for whatever reason. You slept, you weren't feeling well. Now the truth of the matter is that as we saw together in the notes before the daf, it may there may be a difference in terms of why you didn't say it, But right now, let's say Kipshuta. Whatever the reason is, it doesn't matter. You didn't say Kiddush on Friday night. So, you wake up Shabbos morning. Can you say Kiddush? Okay. So, that's a simple question. So, Amalei Medamri B'nei Rebbe Chia, Mishlo Hivdom B'motzei Shabbos, Mavda V'holach Kola Shabbos Kulo, Hachanami Mishlo Kiddush B'erev Shabbos, Mekash V'holach Kola Yom Kulo. He makes the following comparison. Well, you know by Havdalah, I feel like everybody knows this. This is the Gemara that talks about it, right? What if you miss Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos? For whatever reason. So you have makeup. You can make it up on Sunday. You can make it up Monday. You can make it up Tuesday. Now, it's true that the Gemara here says, Kola Shabbos Kula. You can make it up the whole week. And I feel like we all know we don't have the whole week to make it up. Okay, but still. But the basic idea is that you can make it up. So Kiddush also. You miss it on Friday night, so you can make it up for the remainder of the week. So basically, his answer is, it's fine. It's not going to be a problem. It's fine. He notes over there, in the notes, so he makes the following observation, that although the Gemara makes it sound like if you miss it on Friday night, you can make it up on Shabbos morning, what does that sound like? It sounds like tashlumim. It sounds like it's a makeup. Very similar to, I heard Phil say this just a moment ago, very similar to like davening. Right? Davening, you miss davening, so what do? So you make it up. In other words, the next opportunity for davening, you just simply make it up. Good. That's the, so it sounds like it's tashlumen, but he points out that it's not. In other words, the Bach makes this point, the Rambam, it seems clear from the Rambam, it's not tashlumen. How do we know it's not tashlumen? So he says, I'll tell you why. Because when can you make up a davening? You can only make up a davening if you miss it by accident. It was an ones, you slept. In other words, there was no intent, there was no malintent in missing the davening. I didn't just simply say, oh, okay, fine, whatever. I'll do it. In other words, no. Tashlumim only works when you miss it and it was circumstances that went a little bit beyond your control. It was ones, maybe a show gig, but in other words, but not if you miss it intently. Here, when it comes to Kiddush, it's clear from the Rambam, and the Bach makes this point, even if I, for whatever reason, I don't want to make Kiddush on Friday night, you still have an opportunity to say Kiddush on Shabbos morning, because it's not tashlumim. It's not really a makeup. Makeup is, I miss the time, and now I'm given a chance to make it up. Here, by Kiddush, I didn't miss the time. Think about it. Because what's Shabbos morning?
It's still Shabbos.
Exactly. It's still Shabbos. It's right. So in other words, it's still Zman Kiddush. So this idea, right from the Gemara, by the way, you really don't feel that way. You don't get that from the Gemara. Because the Gemara says it's just like Havdalah, where if I miss it on Motzei Shabbos, I can have a chance to make it up. No. By Kiddush, if I miss it on Friday night, I'm not making it up on Shabbos morning. I'm simply saying Kiddush. It's the Zman Kiddush.
No matter which Kiddush made first.
Oh, okay, fine. Right, perfect question. Just give it a moment. So, Ezrei Leila Shabbos V'Leila Yom Tov Yesh Ba'em Kiddush Alakos V'Yesh Ba'em Maskar B'Birchos Amazon. The Bryce over here notes that there's a simple difference between Friday night and Shabbos day. Friday night, there's Kiddush. Kiddush Alakos V'Yesh Ba'em Maskar B'Birchos Amazon. And when you bench, so you say whatever's appropriate in benching. If it's Shabbos, you say Ritzei. If it's Yom Tov, you say Yalav Yavo. If it's Rosh, right, in other words, but fine. Shabbos v'yom tov ein behem kedusha alakos. But when it comes to Shabbos day, so there's no Kiddush. Now we, of course, know, well, what does that mean, there's no Kiddush? The Rashbam explains that what it means is, Kiddush is just bar priya gafen. But there's nothing you have to say before Kiddush. Now I know that all of us have our minhagim of saying paragraphs before. But let's understand, those are minhagim. Right, that's not Kiddush. In other words, there's no Kiddush requirement. Friday night, there's a Kiddush requirement, which means that we say Vayichulu, although to be frank and honest, Vayichulu is not really part of Kiddush. Then we make a Bar Priya Gafen, and then what do? We make a Bracha on Kiddush. That Bracha after Bar Priya Gafen, that's Kiddush. Shabbos day, we just make Bar Priya Gafen. Now again, the paragraphs that we say before, they're beautiful Menhagim, but they're just that, they're Menhagim. It's not Kiddush. The Yesh by Maskaras Berberchas Amazon. And still, when you bench, obviously you're going to say Ritzei, or if it's Yantiv, you're going to say Yalav Yavo. Okay. Isa gadach mishal kish bev shabbos mekash vol lechol yam kulo shabbos yom tov nami mishkach lo diyesh behem kedusha ala kos dilo kish miorta mekash lamachar. So the Gemara feels like it's got like a really powerful question. But wait a second. What do you mean there's no kiddush during the day on Shabbos? There could be. Meaning if you miss kiddush on Friday night, so then you'll say kiddush during the day. So the Braisa seems to be wrong. There is kiddush during the day if you miss on Friday night. So Amarle di'i lo kitani. So he says, I don't think it's a strong question. Meaning the Braisa is talking about your standard Shabbos. Your standard Shabbos is going to be kiddush at night, not kiddush during the day. Okay, yes, you're right. In the event that you miss kiddush on Friday night, you'll say kiddush during the day. But the Braisa is dealing with standard Shabbos. Eisvei.
Is there a limit to how many times you can say kiddush?
You only say kiddush once.
There's a limit.
Yeah. In other words, you know, kiddush is a mitzvah. Once he did it, it's it. It's done. It's taken care of. Eisvei, the Gemara challenges. Kavod yom v'kavod laila, kavod yom kodem. Right, this Braisa, I feel like nobody knows. I have a couple of like mysteries that came out of nowhere in today's daf. For me, I'm talking personally. This one, it's not a mystery, it's a braisa. I mean, it's not like a tosus that speaks about a minug, but this is a braisa. In other words, given the choice, right, I got really excellent food coming for Shabbos. And we have a roast, okay? And
Cholent.
But let's say we have a roast. Is it better to serve on a Friday night or is it better to serve on Shabbos day? Halachically, I'm asking. I'm not asking, you know, in terms of proper etiquette. And I'm not the person to go to for proper etiquette. But in other words, halachically, what's better? Shabbos day. Shabbos day is better. Kavod yom, the kavod laila, kavod yom kodem. Kavod yom comes before kavod laila. Meaning, obviously, we have an obligation to honor Shabbos. We have to honor Shabbos during the meals. We honor it with food. The better food should be served during the day. Kavod Yom versus Kavod Laila. Now, why is a great question, and why I don't have an answer.
You argue that the day constitutes the majority of this portion of the 24-hour period. So yeah.
Maybe. Maybe, I don't know. Right? That's my honest appraisal of the situation. So kavod yom v'kavod laila, kavod yom kodem. V'imein lo elakos echad, omer alav kiddush hayom, mibnei shekiddush hayom kodem l'kavod yom. But let's say the following. Let's say you only have one cup of wine. Rechman l'tzlan, I mean, that's, you know, you're hurting. All you have is one cup of wine. So now what? So here's what you have to weigh out. Meaning on one hand, I really should save it till tomorrow. Because, again, what's more important to honor, the night or the day? Day's more important to honor. On the other hand, there's a mitzvah of kiddush, and the mitzvah of kiddush should be said at night. So which value is going to take more precedent? So the Gemara says kiddush. Kiddush is going to take more precedent, and therefore say kiddush at night, and don't leave over the wine till the next day. That's a good point. We're going to save that conversation to, I think, tomorrow's daf. Tomorrow's daf is the kiddush on bread discussion. Yes, it is. Okay, we'll save the discussion until tomorrow. That is the end of the braisa. The im isa, but then the Gemara says, but wait a second. Why do we need to do that? Why don't we do the following? Why don't we not eat tonight, meaning Friday night, and why don't you save the wine till tomorrow? And now we could double dip. We can A, honor the day more than the night, and B, we can make kiddush. Because as we just said, if you don't make on Friday night, so then kiddush could be said during the day. So why don't you do that? The misa li shavke ad lamachar vili avid be tarte, and that way you can kill two birds with one stone. Amalei chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. Answer? I feel like we all would have gotten this answer right. Yes. You're right, you could do that, but once you have a mitzvah opportunity, you don't want to give it up. So in other words, Friday night, yes, you could forecast that I only have one cup of wine, and really I should save it till tomorrow, or maybe I'll save it till tomorrow, so therefore I'll be mechabig yom, and I will also be able to make kiddush, but, says the Gemara, you have a mitzvah opportunity now, chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. Better to take your golden opportunity of doing the mitzvah in the right time. And even though, yes, it means I'll have less for tomorrow day, But chaviva mitzvah b'shaita.
Is it the right time or the earliest possible time to perform?
The Gemara's language is shaita, which sounds like it's the right time. That's the way the Gemara presents itself. Okay. So we saw this brisa earlier. We get to see it again. We saw it just 3 days ago. But you come home from shul on Saturday night. So what do? So you make havdalah, yayin, maor, besamim, and then afterwards you make havdalah alakos. The im ein lo alakos echad. Now, but what if you only have one cup of wine and you know I'd like to make havdalah plus? I'd also like to have a shal shudas. Or maybe we're talking about Malava Malka. Menicho ad la'achar hamazon, o mishashlan kulan la'acharav. So what you should do is the following. It sounds like Malava Malka. So what you should do is, you should basically push off the wine till the end, and that way you can use the wine for Havdalah and for your benching as well. V'lo amrinan chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. And notice, what don't we say? We don't say chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. So amalei ana, so he says to him like this, look, your point may be good, but ana lo chakima ana, v'lo chuzah ana, v'lo yichida ana. He says, look, I'm not smart, I'm not a navi, I'm not a yichida, the way the Rashbam understands that, alright, I'm not saying a shitas yachid. Ana ela gamarna v'sadarna ana. I have a tradition, I have the following organized, v'chein morim bebe medrasha kavasi. And also in the base medrash, they say the same thing that I do, which is, shanilan bein iyule yuma la'afuke yuma. There's a very fundamental difference. By the way, I take it back. I said malava malka. I'm hedging. We're talking about shal shudas. Right. Iyule yuma la'afuke yuma. Iyule yuma kol kama demektamim ale adif. Umechavivan le afuke yuma me'achrinan le kihechid lelehave alan kituna. The Gemara says, look, and once again, this we all would have intuited. When it comes time for Shabbos to come in, so not only do we not want to push that event off, we want to bring that event in. Meaning, we want to make Shabbos early. The Gemara says, make Shabbos as early as you can. Yes, there are limits to how early you can make Shabbos, plaga mencha, but in other words, you want to bring Shabbos in as early as you can. On the exiting of Shabbos, we want just the opposite. We want to make Shabbos as long as we can. So therefore, of course it's talking about shal shudas. So therefore, if there's an opportunity to push off Havdalah, please, we'd love to push off Havdalah. Push off as late as you can. So the Gemara basically says that you're right. Chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. When I have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, do it as quickly as you can. So if I have only one cup of wine and I'm going into Shabbos, so then you have Kiddush. Kiddush, make Kiddush as early as you can. And don't wait until tomorrow. Do it now. Make the Kiddush now. Vis-a-vis Havdalah and the Hotzah of Shabbos, the exiting of Shabbos, just the opposite. There's no mitzvah b'shaita adif. That, in other words, do the mitzvah now. Because if we're talking about the mitzvah of Havdalah, our best position would be push it off as long as you can. And so therefore, if we're going to bundle together the shal shudas and the havdalah, and that means that we're going to have to push off havdalah, the Gemara says we would love to do that.
Okay.
And once again, it's another. It seems like once again from the Gemara, another piece of evidence that shal shudas was in fact done later in the afternoon. Again,
because otherwise they would not be able to extend into havdalah, right?
Or, I mean, again, if I wanted to defend the Tosfos, I don't have to do it. Tosfos did it. Tosfos says they started eating before Mincha, and it just kind of extended beyond that point in time.
But in terms of one cup of wine for both, you're assuming that you're going to have three people to bench with. This is not an individual.
Okay, fine. Right? So, that's funny. That's you read my mind. That's Tosfos. I'm going to discuss it. I'll come back to that Tosfos in just a moment. Okay, good. That the Gemara says, once again, the idea that Shabbos, as Shabbos enters, you want to bring it in early. Shabbos exits, you want to push it off as much as possible. Shvamin amiyam asnisa and tamne. Okay. How many points can we learn from over here? It's funny. Usually when the Gemara makes this point, the Gemara says three. Okay, today's number is not going to be three. Today's number is going to be eight. 8 points to be derived from all this. Meaning, what did we just see? We saw that they came home from Shul, and they're going to eat, and they're going to make Havdalah, and they're going to bundle it all together. So, what do you see over here? A lot of things. Eight things to be specific. I'll run through eight things now, and then we're going to go do Tosfos, and that'll be the end of our morning. Number one, Amavda b'tfilah tzarech she'avdala l'kos. Even though we said Havdalah in tefillah, Shmona Esrei, fourth bracha, Shmona Esrei, we add to Atachonei and Atachonantano. So we make Havdalah. I have to repeat it when I come home over a cup of wine? Yeah. The answer is yes. That's point number one. Shema Minah, bracha tu and a kos. An additional point to consider. And that is, a bracha requires a kos. Meaning when I bench, I have to bench over a cup of wine. Okay. Three. Shema Minah, kosho, bracha, tzarech shir. Additionally, it can't just have a little bit of wine. In other words, you need a shir. In other words, it has to be a requisite amount. How do I know that? Because why not just simply divide the cup into two? They didn't have enough. Number four, Shema Minah, Mevarech Tzarech Shiyitom. When you make the bracha, you have to taste it. Okay, of course, because otherwise, make the bracha, don't taste it, and then save it for later. Number five, Shema Minah, Tamo Pagmo. Once you taste it, that's it. You can't use it for another kosher bracha. You can keep drinking from it, but you can't use it for another kosher bracha. Number six, Shema Minah, Tam Mavdil. That the one tasting it should be the one making the Havdalah. Number seven, Shema Minah, Omer Beis Kedushos Al Kos Echad. You could say two Kedushos over one cup. Right, in other words, benching and Havdalah are being made over one cup. Now, granted, earlier the Gemara says you really shouldn't bundle, but we also pointed out earlier, and the Rashbam reminds us, but here you only have one cup. And finally, last and not least, Shema Minah, Beishami Hivaliba de Rabbi Yehuda. Also, the order of Havdalah. Did you notice? When we went over the order of Havdalah, what was the order that we had over here? He was Yayin, Ma'or, Besamim, V'acharka Chomer Havdalah. Okay, so that was Beis Shammai, Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, which is interesting, right? He's following like Beis Shammai. Okay, that's very interesting. But anyway, but as is a version of Rabbi Yehuda. This goes back a couple days ago. We had two versions of the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Well, let me start like this. We had a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in terms of what the proper order of Havdalah is. And in that machlokas, we had then a sub-machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir in terms of what the correct sequence or how exactly the machlokas was. So our version over here has it that it's Beis Shammai Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. Which, of course, is interesting that he's going like Beis Shammai, but fine. Okay, 8 points to consider. I know I went over them very quickly. Just to end off today's daf, just 1 point, and that is when you bench over a cup of wine. Okay, that the Gemara says is a conclusion. So what does that mean? It means now, from this point going forward, that when we bench, we have to bench over a cup of wine. Okay, right? Yeah. Even when we're all alone?
No.
So Tosfo says, I don't know, it sounds like that. Look at Tosfos, third Tosfos on the Amud. Shema Minah Bircha Tuna Kos. Tsas Mashma Dafila B'Yachid Tuna Kos. Da Nichnas Mashma Shu Yechidi. Okay, Tosfos says, I don't know, you read the Gemara, it sounds like even if you're one individual. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. In fact, Tosfos says, if you look at the Braisa, Ha Nichnas Lebeiso. The Braisa is describing one guy coming home.
How does he know they're still waiting for him at home?
Again, not conclusive.
I know, but I mean, it's not a very strong.
It's not. He's not positioning it as a strong argument. In fact, if you look at the beginning, ksas mashma. Okay, he's not. But it sounds that way. In other words, where's the evidence otherwise? Let's do the argument that way. V'chein mashma l'kaman didni shlishi omer ala berchaz amazon v'kamer b'gmar shma mina berchaz amazon tu nakos v'arba kos is tikno afilu b'yichidi. So another piece of evidence that even one person is going to bench over a cup of wine is based on a Mishnah coming up later in our perek, because later we're going to talk about the third cup of the Seder night. And what's the third cup of the Seder night? The third cup of the Seder night is over benching. And I know we don't like to think about the lonely man eating a Seder by himself, but the halacha is that even if you're alone on Seder night, you still have a mitzvah to drink 4 cups of wine.
That's not part of the Seder, not part of the benching.
Again, no argument over here is absolute. These arguments that Tosos is presenting are not absolute arguments, they're just simply hints. Tosis makes exactly your point, Ben. It could be that this is specific to Pesach. And then Tosis notes, look, I'll tell you what the minhag is. Tosis says, from the Gemara's, You can construct an argument that even for one person should bench over a cup of wine. Good. But the minhag is, says Tosfos, three. Three people eating together are going to have to bench over a cup of wine. It could be that with three, we all know, seventh parak of Brachos, that we have an added feature to benching, which of course is Zimun. So it could be that it's a more significant benching, it's a qualitatively better benching.
But he describes it as a minhag, not a halakha still.
Well, again, you have to. The starting point for the whole discussion is the Gemara. The Gemara says that you make a bracha, meaning bracha over here means benching. You bench over a cup of wine. And now it's just a question of, well, when? Meaning, what is the Gemara talking about?
Yeah, but the question is that, is this something that has the status of halacha or a minha?
I mean, the Gemara says it pretty clearly.
What does the Shulchan Aruch say? There's one other
point to consider, and that is that there are some Rishonim who feel that this is not an absolute requirement, but in other words, this is something which will enhance the benching. Meaning that the benching itself, in of itself, is a mitzvah. And right, in other words, so you have benching and then you have, right, super benching, if you will. In other words, an enhanced benching. And an enhanced benching comes with a kos. So it could be that it's not a chiyuv, but it's just simply a way of being mahadir. It's beautifying the benching by adding a kos to it. It doesn't conform to the simple wording of our Gemara, but there are those who are of the opinion that that's the way to understand our Gemara over here. And then, what do I see? First of all, I see very few people benching over a cup of wine. I see people doing it on Shabbos, meaning Shabbos, it's much more popular to bench over a cup of wine. And then I see also that if they have 10, yeah. I don't know, 10 becomes like this, like golden rule, oh, there's 10 people, okay, let's bring out a wine. And from Tosos, it's funny, Tosos operates with the thought of either one or three.
In Masechta Berakha, Tosos, if I remember correctly, argued that even for drinking wine, you should say Berakhat HaMazon. So that means that even if for yourself, follow the argument.
Correct, that's how Tosos starts over here.
Run and bench and keep doing it?
Correct. That's how Tosos starts the discussion over here. Right, and that Tosos over there, remember that Tosos? The endless loop? Because
right.
According to Rabbi Gamliel, you have to bench over a cup of wine, and so you're going to end up in this endless loop of benching wine. Yes, correct. All agreed. Okay, Adkan, stop over here. So again, today's daf, really two big issues came up in today's daf. Number one, the discussion of Shabbos being a koveya. Shabbos is a koveya, which means that when Shabbos comes, the meal turns into a Shabbos meal. Still, there's a requirement to purse mapa mekadesh, but Shabbos meal. Tasting food at the end of Shabbos, starting a meal as Shabbos ends, that's fine. But starting a meal before Shabbos ends is fine. Starting a meal after Shabbos ends is not acceptable. That's not fine. How about water? The Gemara left that off as a controversy. And then finally, the last issue that we discussed is making Kiddush on Shabbos. Are you allowed to make, if you miss Kiddush on Friday night, are you allowed to make a Kiddush on Shabbos? The answer is yes. We explained that this may not be coming as a tashlumim, but this just simply the Shabbos is zman. And then the Gemara challenged, but the Gemara defended. The Gemara says, no, if you miss Kiddush on Friday night, you have the right, the obligation, to say Kiddush during the day as well. Okay.